chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I will be out of town with Karen to Durango, Colorado, to fill in for the, one of our board of directors, Pastor Ernest Finkley. Some of you guys know him. Anyway, I'm going to fill in for him this weekend. And meanwhile, Pastor Jesse Clay Camp from Calvary Chapel, North Phoenix, is going to come. He's filled in for me several times. You like him. He's a good teacher and a great worship leader there. And he's going to fill in for me. But that doesn't mean you can skip the church because I'm not there. I asked him to do the roll call. So let's start. We know and heard some of the well-known Bible stories. So when somebody said the first word, we can pretty much say the next word. Let's make an example. Adam, Eve, Samson, and Delilah, and David, Sheba, or the Goliath, or the Solomon, Sodom, Gomorrah, Jonah, and the whale, or fish, whatever, big fish, Daniel in the den of lions. Because we know that story so well, we don't catch the real drift. See, the Daniel in the lion's den, we know that situation. We know that he was inside the den of lion, but yet he didn't get killed. But we forget that, how he survived, why he ended up in there. At this point, we have to think one thing. It's not unusual, it's not wrong thing for those who are unjust to be punished. But when we find out that those who are just and righteous being injustice, then that's a become different story. We find many situations, especially in American judicial system, kinds of make you the sick, make me the sick. Those who have a petty crime end up three strikes out, so they end up doing the lifetime, while one-time murderer walk out the door. And how can it be? That's the judicial system in America with a full of holes. This man, King Daniel, has been serving at least three kings with all of his heart, starting with Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. For many years, over 50-some years, he's been in the official position in the kingdom of Babylon. This man, in my opinion, is one of the foremost, one of the best guy you can find in the entire Bible other than Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? And you might say, well, what about Samuel? What about Joseph? Oh, of course, they are good people. However, Joseph had with a little attitude when he was a teenager. And Samuel had a little lapse in trusting God before he anointed David, teenager David. However, I don't find anywhere against Daniel. There's one painting that I saw, which I really like. This describes the character of Daniel so well. Have you ever seen this kind of picture? This Daniel, he's about 80 years old. And you can see he's quite old there, and he's tied in the back, and he's in the line of the lion's den. And look at some of the lion's expression. It's so neat, especially the one over there, as soon as I get the point out. Like this one, trying to look up, and all these guys are kind of scared, and they're all cornered. And somehow this unseen guest in the lion's den is holding him back. Now, this man, Daniel, is a man of integrity, man of character, also a man who brings the action to the others to trust God. Generally speaking, there are two kinds of type of tests in our lives. One is adversity, the other one is prosperity. Adversity situation makes the situation rather simple. When we go through adversity, our life becomes simple. Food, drink, water, and place to sleep, something to wear. And when we go through adversity, we have a tendency to run to God. But when it comes to prosperity, it becomes complicated. Because there is a subtle temptation and subtle praise or even obvious praise from the people who wants to be around you or in me. See, when we have a prosperity, most likely that means power. Most likely that means financial independence. When you have a lot of money, I guarantee you people will hang around with you. And they say, wow, you are such a good-looking guy. You are so smart. All this praise, that doesn't mean a thing. And they will say that to you. And we start to believe that kind of stupidity. Don't look at me like you never would do that. Yeah, you do the same thing like I would do. It's a natural thing for us, the people, to cling on to God during the time of adversity, but it's a normal thing for people to walk away from God during the time of prosperity. That's when really show the man a character, man of God, who that person is. And that's when the integrity comes to the test. This man, Daniel, has been in the prosperity for many decades, yet he cling on to God. Was it the time that he was challenged to the survival? Yes. Again, I said we are too familiar with the story of Daniel, especially in the lion's den, so we forget the true important thing about this. This is not about him hanging around with the big kitty cats. It's about why did he get there and how did he react to this difficult situation. Let's start at the verse 1 of chapter 6 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your hand to be upon your word. Anoint your word. Your word go out forth without, it will not return in void. Give us understanding of your word so that we may know your heart. And you write and etch in our heart that what you want us to do. And we will receive it, we'll glorify you, and we'll exalt your name by following you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. You might want to jot it down on the next to the satrap. It's equivalent to princes. That kind of privilege. To be over the whole kingdom and over these, the three governors of whom Daniel was one, and that satrap might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above governors and satraps because the excellent spirit was in him. Would you underline, mark it, or would you are welcome to underline people next to you, that person's Bible. Note that, please, excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave the thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charges against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find no charge or fault. This is unreal. Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, next line need to be on the line. We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Darius, the Medes, is a title. It's not the name of the king. Darius is a subordinate of the under the Persian great monarch is Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S, we read in the last chapter. Cyrus is in charge of the entire Persian kingdom, and underneath there's a Medes, and the one who is in charge is Darius. His name is Gubaru. His real name is Gubaru. And if I had a name like a Gubaru, yeah, I would have changed it to Darius too. So his title is Darius the Mede. Scripture tells us that Daniel had an excellent spirit. What is the excellent spirit? Can you think with me. Excellent spirit in my heart, the first thing comes to my mind, it would be winsome spirit. Second one would be loving spirit. Third one would be humble spirit. And another one would be teachable spirit. And the last one, not the least one, but this man had a spirit of honesty and straightforwardness. So what kinds of attitude do you display in your job, at your workplaces, around your neighbor? Do you show them in such an attitude that everybody walk away from you and with a shaking head? Or do they smile and like to hang around with you? Not because you compromise, but you show this gentle spirit, lovable spirit, winsome spirit, humble spirit. What kind of spirit do you have? That's something you cannot buy. That's something you cannot just fake. Because people see it. Do we show the personal grudge or the feeling of resentment or envious thought? Or do we win their heart with our good actions? Sometimes today the candidate nominees of the government offices will go through the close exam. Some of you've seen that. It's like Clarence Thomas. Remember that black Supreme Judge? Supreme Court judge, he went through literally living hell. The Democrat brought all this accusation against him, tried to destroy the marriage, tried to destroy the man's reputation. With that kind of scrutiny, and a lot of people's dirt shows up. However, when the enemies try to do the fine tooth comb exam on this life of Daniel, they could not find anything. National Inquirer came by, Israeli Inquirer came by, and the Globes came by, and they want to know. All these things, the things about Daniel's life, but they could not find it. In other words, they could not find the skeleton in the Daniel's closet. So they couldn't find the fraudulent expense account, and they couldn't find the intern scandal, and they couldn't find the accusation from the staff. They couldn't find the questionable business account. They couldn't find the drunken driving record that ended up under the bridge. Did you get that meaning? Some people get it. Some people, if you keep up with the history, you will get it. Can you imagine trying to find this caliber politician in Washington, D.C.? No. Hard to find them. I asked you to underline verse 5. After reading, from the reading verse 5, we can pretty much tell this man, this people, this accusers knew Daniel quite well. And especially when they check him with a fine-tooth comb, and they realize this guy cannot be trapped by whatever the trickery they try to come up with. However, there's one thing they also knew about him is his life in Christ, life in God. They knew that this guy, Daniel, like a clockwork, he prayed to God in Jerusalem, temple toward Jerusalem, for 3 times a day, never missing. They knew that he has a personal relationship with God, so they could use that against this man. Folks, listen carefully, please. The world is such a horrible student of our Christianity, but they are reliable critics when it comes to against our conduct. Let me repeat one more time. World is such a horrible student of our Christianity, but they are sufficient critics of our conduct. The world may not be able to quote John 3:16, but they know what the Christian is supposed to do. If you're using foul language, they'll look at you and they'll say, "You are born again Christian?" If you have a little thing dangling out of your mouth and the smoke coming out from the end and try to talk about the Jesus Christ, and they say, "You're a Christian." Am I against smoking. Yeah, it's not good for your health, so I would stand against it. But there's a lot of godly men that smoke without any conviction, so I cannot really say that you, besides I don't see in the Bible that you cannot smoke. So I'm not going to go there. That's one of those gray areas. I strongly discourage you from smoking, not because of the Bible says no, because number one, it's bad for your health. Number two, how can the non-believers really buy your testimony when you smoke and drink like a fish? They cannot. And some people say, wow, that's horrible sermon. I mean, how can you say that kind of thing from the pulpit? Well, we have a liberty in Christ. Some people can do it, some people cannot do it. However, I do not recommend that. Because for your sake, for your own testimony's sake, people cannot take that thing seriously. Am I making sense? So, we'll start at, continue to verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever, all the governors of the kingdom and administrator and the satrap, the counselor and advisors, and have consulted together to establish royal stature and to make a firm decree that whoever petition any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into den of lions. Now the old king established the decrees and signed in the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which does not alter. Therefore, the king Darius signed the written decree. And underline next verse 10, please. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Note that, please. He knew, and he went home, and what did he do? In his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Note another word that is, gave thanks before his God. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Yes, these people, accusers of Daniel, knew Daniel quite well. Also, they knew the Darius, the King Darius. What they knew about him, that he was a prideful man. He liked to be worshipped, not only as a king, but also as God. For 30 days, nobody worshipped anyone except you, O king. Wow, what a concept. Cool. So everybody thinks that I'm a god for 30 days. Whoop-de-doo. This prideful hearted king liked that idea, his vanity. Because of his vanity, he decided to make a decree. The decree, the law, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, cannot be changed by nobody. So he decided to follow. And in verse 10, I talked about the, in my opinion, speaks a volume about this man's character. He knew, yet he went home and prayed. Did he bang open the doors so he can flaunt his prayer life and his religion? No. The windows are already opened toward Jerusalem, toward the temple. And he prayed to God. Did he know that he's going to be thrown into the lion's den? Yes, he knew exactly. After all, he was one of the top governors. So he knew, yet he chose to do what is right in the sight of God instead of compromising his faith so he can save his skin. Another thing, verse 10, we'll go back there. As was his custom since early days. For three times a day, I'm not saying we should do the same thing three times a day. However, the Bible says in the New Testament that we should pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we walk around with mumbling something and then so we can walk right into the door. No, that's not. Constant communion with God is a good thing. That's commanded. We are supposed to give pray to him, commune with him. That's what Daniel did, commune with him, and it became a habit. He set the place, he set the time to spend time with God. Now, you know where I'm going with this. Do you have a daily devotion? If you don't, what is your excuse? I hope none of you in this room have any excuse. Even if you have an excuse, I will just remove that thing anyway. If you have time to watch TV, if you have time to read the newspaper, you certainly have a time to have a devotion. You start with a devotion in a day. You may say, like a Pastor Jack, he get up 3 o'clock in the morning. Ungodly hours. Even the sun has more sense to come up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But he gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not by choice. Whatever. He gets up and he starts the day with a devotion. First thing first, God comes in the first priority. When we have that kind of priority, rest of them fits in. I don't know how true this is, but I believe, I wouldn't doubt. What's that guy? Martin Luther said once, he's so busy, if he doesn't pray for 2 hours a day, each day, he cannot get anything done. I'm not saying that you pray 2 hours a day. But you spend time with God each day. He will help you to get the things done. You'll be surprised. Daniel's relationship with God is not a crisis-oriented relationship with God. He doesn't come to God, God, I need your help. I need your help right now. He came to God regularly. So this is not something he come just when it's a bad time. And another thing that we have to notice is giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God for what? Being kidnapped when he was a teenager and came to this pagan land and they made him to eunuch and stayed in this land for last 70-some years in pagan land. Hidden culture. He didn't get to have all this relationship with the Jewish people. What did he have anything to thank God about it? He thanked God about God's faithfulness. Even though he was in the valley of shadow of death, God was with him. And instead of being a captive and being a typical slave, he promoted to the top administrator because God was with him. That kind of relationship he has, even the fang of a lion could not tear him apart from God. Let me ask you this. Are you in peace? Are you in turmoil? Jesus promised, and through the New Testament, he said he will leave a peace that cannot be bought. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor neither let it be afraid. And in Apostle Paul says, peace that passes all man's understanding will guard our heart. That kind of peace. Turmoil does not come from God. Turmoil comes from man's heart and man's devil's heart. The reason why we have a turmoil is because we cannot see the future and there might be a possibility we don't get what we want. Did God say he will meet our needs according to his riches and glory? Yes, he did. Did he say he will bless us? Yes, he did. Did he say he will be with us? Yes, he did. What else do we expect more? He will meet the bottom line. Anything else is icing. So we have a choice. We can have a peace in God. We can have a turmoil and devil. Our choice. Verse 12. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitioned any god or man within 30 days except your king shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, and they said, voila, we cornered you. That Daniel, note that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, don't tell me the anti-Semitism is rather new, it's been around, does not show due regard for your king or for the decree that you have assigned, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard this word, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun and to deliver him. Then this man approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Darius and Daniel have been cornered. They are trapped, legally trapped. Daniel is trapped because he went against the decree, the vanity decree from the king. Darius is trapped because he was dumb enough to sign the decree, even though he loved Daniel. Note this, please. According to the law of Medes and Persia, nothing can be changed, even the king. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a problem changing whatever he wants to change. Remember the statue that we studied? Start with the gold. The value went down to silver, Medes and Persia. So it's not complete monarch system. Before, the Nebuchadnezzar was complete in control. However, this time is divided by Cyrus and Darius. Under Darius, there is three governors and the satraps. Power has been divided. And they could trap the king with their own laws. So the value of the kingdom went down. Continuing in verse 16, the king gave a command and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed with his own signet ring with the signets of his lords, that the proposal concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and then spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his sheep, his sleep, not sheep. Well, I guess it's a sheep, they should count the sheep, and then they get, comes, whatever. Went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. King spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Story of Daniel in the lion's den is as much a story as the story of Darius. This pagan king's life is literally changed in one night. He's seen this man, Daniel, all this time, ever since he got in charge and became a king in this Babylon, in the Medes kingdom. He saw this man faithful and showing excellent spirit, a man of integrity. But he has a different God. This guy is something different. There's something different about this man. Now, all of a sudden, he was thrown in the den of lions, yet he was not killed. He's not torn into pieces. He didn't become a big kid's night snack. What happened? Because God protected him. What kind of God would be from the pagan God would protect a man like that? No one. I assure you that this king is thinking about God differently now. God of Daniel. These lions, I believe they were fierce and hungry lions. Yet, they couldn't approach to this Daniel. In my opinion, you can think a different way. You can be wrong. That's all right. I bet he had a good night's sleep in this stinky lion's den. He had a good night's sleep while Darius, King Darius, having a sleepless night on his royal sleep-by-number bed in the fancy palace. Why the man couldn't sleep in the palace, the guy in the lion's den could sleep well? Because in my opinion, the safest place on that earth, during that time was the lion's den with Daniel. Because God was with him. So I'm going to go with this way. If we are in the will of God, that's the safest place to be. If we are in the will of God, that's the best place to be. If we step out of the will of God, it doesn't matter what kind of thing you have. It doesn't matter what kind of capability you have. You are at the blink of disaster. God might extend the mercy to you. However, there's no other place can be better than the will of God. Daniel was so confident about what he believed in God, his faith in God, that he was willing to stand in front of these lions and just carry the conversation. If I were Daniel, I would say, "Yo, king, drop down something. So get me out of here. I don't want to be hanging around with these kitty cats anymore." But this guy was confident in God, his God. He didn't mind carrying the conversation. It's amazing that he had any faith at all during the time of his life in the last 80-some years in pagan country without scroll of the scripture, without anybody to keep him accountable. Christians today face many temptations to compromise, and it appears to be safest place, course, is just getting along with the people. Compromise a little here, compromise a little there. Again, as I said before, the safest place is in the will of God. Let's finish this in verse 24. And the king above, king gave commands, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions, they overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote to the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, man must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, and Cyrus the Persian." Daniel's face testified to Darius. Whenever we do the right thing in the middle of the adversity, God gets the glory. And people see God in our lives. It brings other people to Christ. Let's make an application. Application number one. We will seldom receive what we deserve from the people. We will seldom receive what we deserve from people. Whether it is criticism or honor, people around us usually don't pay to us what is due to us. So we should learn not to depend on people's opinion. whether it's good or bad. Remember this. Flattery is something they say to you in the presence of you. And the gossip is the things they talk about you behind your back. You can go from the flattery to gossip at no time. Trust me. Second application, our ability to handle human injustice and divine goodness is directly related to the consistency of our walk with God. Only if we have a stability in our relationship with the Lord will we be able to accept man's unfair criticism and wait for God's blessing. It's not easy to handle other people's criticism because sometimes we can take that thing personally. I recommend you by experience, remember where it came from. Look at the source. If it's not true, let it roll on your back. If it's true, take heed. Learn from it. Third application, the real, only really safe place is in the will of God. We might think that the Lord we are heading give us all the promise and comfort, but if it's not in the will of God, that promising road can turn into will turn into a hairpin curve on a steep mountain hill, steep mountain, coupled with landslide and a pothole. It can be a disastrous. Safest place is in the will of God. Next application. When we are treated unjustly, wait for God to vindicate us. If you're trying to defend yourself, God will not defend you. Mark this word, please. If you try to defend yourself, God will not defend you. But if you let God defend you, you don't have to pay $350 per hour for the lousy attorney. There's nobody attorney. Is there a lawyer? Fifth application. When we are suffering undeservedly, let God use you to make himself known to others. Raise. There we go. When we are suffering undeservedly, let God use you to make himself known to others. While we're going through a difficult time, people will see our God through right relationship between him and us. During a time of difficulty, we can bring other people to the living God. Then that's when our testimony really speaks in volume. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This is not the easy message to do, hard message to practice. We are asking you to give us wisdom and the strength and courage to do what you tell us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.